The Ship of Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1877. I shall die of love for you. I know I shall. Dearest, most beautiful Rowena, goddess of my heart, say you return just a fraction of my adoration, and I ask no more. The young man seemed about to expire from passion, but instead of impressing Rowena Thornhill, it only made her want to laugh. He was rather plump, and not at all the right shape for declarations of eternal love. "Do get up, Sir Cedric," she said, struggling to free her hand, "and let me go." "Not until you say you're mine," he moaned. "Well, I'm not yours, and I'm never going to be."
"Adorable, loveliest Rowena."
"My name is Miss Thornhill, and if you don't get up, I shall scream." That made him rise reluctantly, but still he clung to her hand until she rapped his knuckles with her fan. Miss Rowena Thornhill was almost 19, with a soft, peach-like skin and golden hair that hung in soft curls around her heart-shaped face. In her pink lace and satin ball gown, she looked glorious enough to inspire any man with love. But Sir Cedric's debts were notorious, and she knew that it was her father's bank balance, rather than her own charms, that had caused these ecstasies. The knowledge didn't break her heart, for she cared nothing for Sir Cedric. But it was depressing. She would have liked to be appreciated for herself. Normally she enjoyed balls, but she wished she'd never come to this one. It was almost the last dance of the season, and everyone who was still in London was there. Lights blazed from the windows, the finest food and wines were served by powdered footmen, and all about her attractive men and women laughed, danced, and flirted. But Rowena was beginning to find these occasions troubling. They had an atmosphere that disturbed her. Gradually, she realized that nobody looked at her without calculating that her father was one of the richest men in England. She was looking forward to escaping London for the peace and honesty of the country. But first, she had to deal with this unimpressive swain. "Don't play with my feelings," he begged. "I adore you madly."
"And I tell you that I don't adore you, and never could."
"After the encouragement you gave me?"
"I did no such thing."
"You left the ball with me."
"I left with you because you were making such a fuss, and people were beginning to stare. But now I'm going back."
Desperation gave her callow admirer courage. Swooping suddenly, he tried to put his arms about her and kiss her.
"How dare you?" she exclaimed furiously. "Release me at once."
Instead of obeying, he made another attempt to reach her mouth, breathing wine fumes all over her. That was enough to make Miss Thornhill lose her temper. The next moment, Sir Cedric was clutching his cheek, that smarted under a very unladylike slap. "And I'll do it again if you don't stop being so silly," she said breathlessly. Then, turning, she fled. She'd never been in Elsmere House before, so she simply headed as far from the ballroom as possible, anxious to get away from the sound of music. But Sir Cedric was coming after her. She ran harder, lost now, and with no idea where she was going. The house was ablaze with lights, for this was the final ball of the season, and nothing had been spared to show it off at its finest. Then she opened a door at random, and found herself in a room without lights. All she could see were the great French windows leading to the moonlit garden. Once out there, she might be lost among the trees. Just one final burst of speed towards the open windows. But suddenly, she collided hard with a human form, and a man's voice said impatiently,
"Be careful."
In the semi-darkness, she could make out a tall man with broad shoulders. His voice was strong, and he seemed youngish, but what mostly struck her was the disagreeable...